Our first scripture reading is from John 20, verses 1 through 8. And you can find that in the Pew Bibles on page 1685. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen and lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I think normally for Easter I'm supposed to preach up there, but feels more comfortable down here. Get to be with you all. On Monday, Thursday, I wore a stole that was similar to this, but it was in purple. Well, those who were here remember that this is a story of, I mentioned that I had was in Jerusalem in 2010, and I was able to purchase two stoles. One was in purple, and one was in white, for this very week, for Holy Week. This is the Jerusalem cross. So if you find yourself in Jerusalem, you will see this cross all over in the city. These were handmade stoles. And one of the beautiful things about this is, as I wear this today, you notice that there is the white of the resurrection, there is the purple that reminds us of Christ's crucifixion, and there is the green that symbolizes life. An ordinary time. There will be an ordinary time in which we will celebrate week and week and week after week, just coming to celebrate and be in the Lord's presence. But we're reminded that on this day, all three come together because of a resurrection that happened just outside the city gates in Jerusalem. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Dennis read for us our traditional passage that we hear on Easter of the resurrection, but for our passage that we're going to be hearing from the message this morning, we're going to a different resurrection, one that did not happen just outside of Jerusalem, but one that happened in a village not far from Jerusalem. And this is part of our seven-week series that we've been going through Lent on the I Am statements of Christ. These were the statements that Jesus made about himself, that he was proclaiming to the world who he really was and is. And it was John, who was the last of the apostles to write Gospels, that recorded these I Am statements specifically for us, because John had a purpose. John's purpose was he wanted us to get to know the real Jesus. And in order to get to know the real Jesus, we need to hear the words that Jesus was saying about himself. And that, we were able to be shown from John, was that Christ proclaimed himself to be divine. And with each claim that Jesus made about himself, he would back it up with a promise. And in some cases, he would not only give us a promise, but he would also give us a miracle. And the people who were listening and understood and watched and heard Jesus in the first person knew the power of his statements. And those statements 2,000 years ago force us to answer those same questions of belief. And so this morning we're going to close our series with arguably the most powerful of Christ's I Am statements. Because of the claim and because of the miracle, when he tells his friends, "I am the resurrection and the life." So our passage for this morning comes from John in the 11th chapter. And this is a longer passage, so I'm going to be kind of skipping through with different selections, going from verses 1 through 44. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, a village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who had poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one that you love is sick." And when he heard this, Jesus said, "Of course, I'm going to get up and go immediately to go be my best friend," right? No, that's not what he says. He says, when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, then he will get better." But Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant a natural sleep. So he went to them, or he spoke to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I was glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, who was also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And after she had said this, so she went back and told her sister, or called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to them. When Mary heard this, she got up. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but he was still at the place where Martha had met them. When the Jews who went to be with Mary at her house were comforting her, noticed how quickly she had gotten up and went out, they decided to follow her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn from there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and that the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see," they replied. And then Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he have opened their eyes of a blind man, had kept this man from dying?" And Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb, and it was where the cave where the stone had been laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord, Martha said, the sister of the dead man, by this time he's going to have a bad odor, for he's been in there for 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, go take off the grave clothes and let him go. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In order to fully appreciate this passage, we need to have a little bit of understanding of kind of the backstory of what's going on. So we hear that Jesus is being called from a village called Bethany. Now, Bethany is not a place that we hear a lot of in Scripture. We know that Jesus spends time in Jerusalem. We know that he spends a lot of time to the north in Galilee. We know that he is originally from Nazareth. We know that he's born in Bethlehem. But where does Bethany show up in this? Well, just a few months ago, can you remember, we celebrated Christ's birth? Christmas. It wasn't that long ago, was it? And the start of 2023, my, how time flies when we're having fun, right? And then now we're here to Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. But what happens in between? Well, from Jesus' birth, we know that he ends up going from Bethlehem to Egypt and then back up to Nazareth. And then we hear nothing until he's age 12 and he finds himself in the temple. And when his parents have left the festival and with thousands of people are heading back to home to Nazareth, after 2 days' journey, they realize Jesus isn't with them. They go back and find him in the temple, amazing the teachers and the priests. And then we hear nothing again until he hits age 30. So what happened between age 12 and age 30? Well, many had thought that maybe Jesus went back home and became a carpenter like his father Joseph, because that's what was traditionally happening. But then at the age 30, all of a sudden he miraculously becomes a teacher. Well, that's not actually how Jewish customs worked back then. As you remember, throughout the scriptures, Jesus is referred to as Rabboni, rabbi, teacher. And you only get that title if you have gone through the hoops. And that means seminary. And folks, we're not talking seminary for like 3 or 4 years. We're talking seminary for 12 years. And it's all based, most of the time, in Jerusalem. So that means that in order for Jesus to have become a rabbi, a teacher, he would have been spending a good chunk of his youth in the rabbinic schools in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know about you, but if in those college days or anytime you were in post-grad work or whatnot, every once in a while, you just got to get out of Dodge. You got to get off campus. You got to get away from school. And you have friends, right? You have friends that maybe you've met them in college or maybe after college, but some of those relationships from our teen years or 20s or something, some of those relationships become really strong, right? Well, I can imagine Jesus being fully human and fully God, needed sometimes to get out of the city of Jerusalem. And the closest village was Bethany. And we know that at some point, he made a connection with Martha and Mary and Lazarus in the town of Bethany. And the reason we know that he made a connection is because it says that Jesus loved them. And he doesn't just use the word love like he loves everybody. No, this was the word love that meant the deepest of friendships. Somebody as close to you as a family member. That's the connection that Jesus had with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It might even be good enough to say that Lazarus was one of his best friends. And so can you imagine, Mary and Martha know what's going on, what Jesus is doing in his ministry, and they even know that he's currently out of the country on the other side of the Jordan River when Lazarus gets sick, and they immediately send word. So imagine the disciples with Jesus They're on the other side of the Jordan River. They're at least 2 days away. And word comes, your best friend is sick and may be dying. Can you come help? Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be jumping up as fast as I could. And if I had the ability to do anything for my best friend, I'd be running to go and help. But what does Jesus do? He waits 2 days. And then he heads out. And he does it because he knows that there's something bigger. Jesus knew what needed to happen. It was time for it to be finally revealed what his purpose was here on earth. And that he was willing to even let a friend, and not any friend, but his best friend, physically die because there was something bigger at stake, something greater than earthly life, and that was belief in God, the Creator. So after 2 days, Jesus tells his disciples, okay, now we're going to go. And they cross the Jordan River and head up to Bethany. And as soon as Martha hears, the oldest, she comes racing out to come and meet Jesus. And she shares the news with him. He's gone. If only you had been here. But yet I know God will do whatever you ask. You can hear Martha's voice. You can hear that human part of her heart that's coming out, but yet she's trying to yield to her faith. And Christ doesn't correct her, but instead he affirms her faith. Well, you know that he will live again, right? He's referencing the scriptures. And so her response comes, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Well, Martha just gave Jesus a Sunday school answer. Literally a Sunday school answer from Job chapter 19. The promise that God would raise us up again on the last day because of the work of the Messiah that will come. So she's got God's word hidden in her heart. She knows it's there. It's starting to come out. And that's where Jesus says, you're right. And let me add to it. Because from that Sunday school response of faith, Jesus takes it to the next level and says, I'm here. I'm the one that you are talking about, that the scriptures talked about. I am that power. I am that source. And he spells it out for her. I am the resurrection and the life, the one who believes in me even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks her, do you believe this? In that moment, Jesus makes a statement and he gives her a promise. In that statement, he says, I am the resurrection of the life. Resurrection was something that had been promised by God. Raised from the dead, eternal life. Only God can do those things. But Jesus is saying, I am that power source and I can do those things. So make no mistake about it. There was power behind Jesus' claim of divinity when he says, I am that one. But then he gives a promise. That promise is for a hope now, that who believes in me will live, even though they may die physically. There's a promise of hope right then. And that was exactly what Martha's heart needed to hear in that moment as she's grieving her brother who died way too young. But he backs it up with something even bigger. And he says, there's a hope for eternity, eternal life, that whoever lives and believes in me will never die, will never be or never have a broken relationship with your Creator. There's a promise for hope for everyone who believes. That is both a statement and a promise that points to the spiritual first. And this is what we've been talking about throughout our series on the I Am statements of Christ. That Jesus always points to the spiritual first and then backs it up with the physical, right? He says, let me give you the real promise, because what happens in the spiritual realm is for eternity. What happens here is temporal, it's temporary. So I'm going to point you to that truth first and then I'm going to back it up down here. Why? Because if we can believe what's happening there and then see it backed up here, it reaffirms our faith. Let me ask you all a question. Why do we yearn for perfection? Think about that for a moment. Why do we yearn for perfection? Why do we long for the promise of forever? How do we know that death is wrong and shouldn't be here? Friends, it's because our souls have been made in the image of God. And so our souls can listen to these truths subconsciously and know that there is something more there. Our souls can hear that truth and in turn believe it. And that's exactly what happens for Martha. When Jesus makes that statement, her soul heard it and knew that it was true. And so he asks her, "Do you believe?" And now Martha responds from her soul, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into this world." It's no longer a Sunday school answer. Martha is bearing her soul to Jesus in that moment. It is now true belief. And only then, when Martha is able to make that confession of true belief, then Christ moves to perform the miracle of raising his best friend Lazarus from the dead. Now we move to the resurrection story. The significance of Jesus weeping. Remember, he says, "Where has he been buried?" They go, they take him to the tomb, and before they've even pulled the stone away, he's crying. How often do we see Jesus crying? He was so deeply moved. That tells us how deep this relationship was, how important that moment was. But then he says, "Pull the stone away." Oh my goodness. 4 days in the tomb and they didn't have what we have today? Oh my goodness. What that must have smelled like. And yet, he's doing it for a reason. And after the stone has been pulled away and everybody is just going, "Oh my gosh, why are we doing this?" Jesus is standing there and prays to the Father and then says, "Lazarus, come out!" Now, we heard in John how Jesus had been bound when he was in the grave, right? But the grave clothes were still there. Those were on the tablet that he had been laid on, the bed that he'd been laid on. Jesus came out with no grave clothes on. How does it say Lazarus comes out? He's still bound. Think about this. Dead man gets up, gets off of the plate, tries to get up, and what's he doing? Literally. The man's got to come hopping out. His best friend's hopping out of the grave. And then Jesus has to give everybody, and everybody's so astonished, they're standing around going, "What do we do?" And Jesus says, "Go unwrap him, set him free. Let him be alive again." Friends, that's the resurrection story for us today. That's the story for each and every one of our souls. Because Jesus came to set our lives free now and for eternity. And sometimes there are things in our lives that have us wound up and bound up like Lazarus. And it may be the brokenness of this world. It may be things that have happened to us that we didn't deserve. It may be mental health issues. It may be physical ailments. It may be demons from the past. Whatever it may be, there are things that try to bind us up and keep us from getting to Christ. And friends, I want you to hear this message. In the same way that Lazarus was raised and unbound from that, Jesus offers the same for us today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And that is where we unwrap the true meaning of Easter. Jesus is here to give hope to the faithful, strengthen the weak, give faith to the faithless. "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am Yahweh." And then he backs it up with his own resurrection on Easter morning. So how does this "I am" statement touch us today? Well, first it asks the question, do you believe? And for those of us who believe and are followers of Christ, there is a deeper piece to this. But I ask you the question, Do you believe in the one true God, the one who says that I am who I am? If not, then look at this resurrection. Listen for the Spirit talking in your heart. For the image of Christ in you, the image of God in you, calls you to faith. And for those of us who believe and are followers of Christ, there's another meaning. Because Christ has called us to come alongside others in life and help unwrap them from the grave clothes of sin and emptiness. Friends, who is Jesus calling you to come alongside to love and to help on this Easter day? Let us remember that Jesus' words of "I am the resurrection and the life" is not just his proclamation, it is also a calling for us as we are reminded that we have all been raised with our souls in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we have been given life eternal. Friends, he is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Friends, he is risen.
He is risen.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that the power of the resurrection was not just for you, that you don't need to be fully man and fully God to be raised from the dead on Easter. Lord, we thank you that you showed us that it is for us as well when you raised your best friend from the grave. And we thank you that you have called us into friendship, a friendship of eternity, that if we open our hearts and just say, "Yes, Lord, I want you to be Lord in my life," that we experience that same freedom. And that every time we come before the cross and the empty tomb, we are reminded that you have that deep love and relationship with us as well for all eternity. Gracious Lord, fill us with the power of the resurrection and of life, both here and eternal. May you help us recognize those who we need to come alongside to help unbind in your name. And Lord, may this day be a day in which we celebrate the resurrection for all, because it is an eternal one. And for that, our souls are so grateful. Thank you, Lord. It is in your holy and most precious name we pray. Amen.